If you want to follow this message in your Bibles, just turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29 and we'll read the scriptures together in just a moment. I'm going to continue the Courageous Love series in a couple of weeks' time, but this weekend I just thought we'd do something a little bit different because this weekend we celebrate Melbourne Day, which is observed annually on August the 30th. Melbourne Day marks the anniversary of the first European settlement in 1835, the beginning of this beautiful city that we love so much. Melbourne was founded on the 30th of August 1835 by settlers who had sailed from Van Diemen's Land, which is now, of course, Tasmania, aboard the schooner Enterprise. They landed on the north bank of the Yarra River and established the first permanent settlement where the Immigration Museum at the Old Customs House stands and the place today known as Enterprise Park. The settlers came from Launceston in search of sheep grazing land, land that had become expensive and there had long been stories told by whalers and sealers working in Bass Strait of fertile land to the north. The five groups who form the Kulin Nation are acknowledged as the first people and traditional owners of the land that became Melbourne and who lived here for tens of thousands of years before European settlement. Melbourne Day is also a time to celebrate and support our city's Indigenous culture and heritage, and also to remember the impact of European arrival on the people of the Kulin Nation. On Sunday, August 30th, 1835, a party of seven people and one cat disembarked the Enterprise and began to erect shelter, build a store, and clear land to grow food, thus starting the permanent European settlement of Melbourne. Records show they planted radishes and 5 acres of wheat on the corner of Flinders and Spencer Streets. Try doing that now. The settlement quickly grew. Less than a year later, by June 1836, the population was 177. There were 142 men and 35 women. The 1851 census put the population at over 77,000 people. In the 185 years since its foundation, Melbourne has grown into the cosmopolitan city of almost 5 million people that it is today. Often voted the world's most livable city, we love this city. We love Melbourne. We count it a privilege to live in such a wonderful place. And so this weekend, we're going to celebrate Melbourne Day. I'm going to share the Word of God specifically for our city at this time, based on another city of over 2,000 years ago. And then we're going to spend a few minutes praying for this city that we love, the city of Melbourne. And we've got a video that we're going to show, which has a number of church leaders and leaders of Christian organizations who will lead us for a few minutes in various aspects of prayer for the city of Melbourne. And so let's read the scriptures together from Jeremiah chapter 29, and we're going to pick it up from verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I have carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I have carried you into exile. Familiar verses, especially those last few verses that talk about the plans that God has for us. Let me just give you a little bit of background so you can understand exactly what was happening here. God, as a loving father, had constantly warned his children about disobedience, just like you or I would with our kids. You know, when they're disobedient, there's warnings and then discipline and correction, all, of course, done out of intense love. And the people of Israel, they'd been hankering after other gods and they'd been doing all of these things that were displeasing to God. And so through the prophet Jeremiah and through other prophets, God constantly was giving loving warnings. We read one of those in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 3. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says: "Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place," talking about Jerusalem. But of course, they didn't listen. They didn't heed the word of God. They continued in their sin. And so there came a point where God said, enough is enough. And he allowed Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonian Empire, to conquer Jerusalem in 597 BC. And he led King Jehoiakim and about 10,000 of the principal citizens of Jerusalem, including Daniel and his three friends. And he led them off to captivity in Babylon, and there they stayed for up to 70 years. You can read the whole story in 2 Kings chapter 24. Jeremiah 29 then is a letter that is dictated by God to the prophet Jeremiah. So he's writing all of this down, and then he sends it off to the exiles who are in Babylon. And this letter, God encourages the people to make the best of the situation that they now find themselves in because of their sin and their rebellion. He says, don't waste your days hankering after home. You'll get home soon enough, but in the meantime, this is what I want you to do as foreigners in a foreign land. Much of what he would say to us in this day and age, those of us who are followers of Jesus, we are called foreigners and strangers on earth. And so this letter is very appropriate to us as well. How are we to live in this foreign land that we call planet Earth while we're waiting to be relocated to our forever home? And so I'm going to pick up four principles that God shares with Jeremiah, that he shares with these exiles, that I think are very appropriate to us here in the city of Melbourne in this day and age, and of course, whatever city or town you happen to live in and you're engaging with Bayside Church online. The first principle we read of in verse 5 is settle down. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. In other words, make the very most of life in a strange land. When I became a Christian in the late 70s, as I shared with you in last week's message, Jesus was coming back at any moment. I felt like I had just got saved in time, that all of history had been waiting for Rob Buckingham to give his life to Jesus, and now we could wrap the whole thing up. Jesus was coming back in the 80s, probably 1987 or 1988, and so it wasn't worth buying a house or planting a garden or any of those things. I remember when my call to pastoral ministry was confirmed by a wonderful old Welshman by the name of Edwin Thomas. He said to me one day that he believed that God had called me to be a pastor, and that kind of backed up what God had been sharing with me from his word, particularly from Ezekiel chapter 34. And he said to me, I want you to go and get some training. I want you to go, and he mentioned the Bible College, and he said, I want you to go for 3 years. Now, that was 1984 when he said that to me. And I enrolled in Bible College for 1985. But initially, I thought, I don't want to be in Bible College. 1985, 86, 87. Jesus is coming back in 1987. I don't want to be in Bible College when Jesus comes back. I want to be out doing the job. So I booked in for 1 year. But during the year 1985, the Holy Spirit convinced me that I should stay longer in college and really do some solid training, which, of course, is what I ended up doing. So I finished college at the end of 87, came down to Melbourne in 88, and of course we know that Jesus has still not returned. And so I wish I'd had this teaching back then, because I was 30, 31 before I actually ended up buying a house, even though through my teenage years, my dad particularly kept saying to me, Rob, save money, buy a house, save money, buy a house. And of course, in those days, you could buy a house for $25,000. Boy, I really wish I'd listened to my dad instead of some of the false prophecies that were buzzing around at the time. And so that's a really good word, a good message to the people of Israel in Babylon. And it's a good message to the followers of Jesus here in Melbourne or on planet Earth in 2020. Buy a house, settle down, plant gardens, eat the produce. I know one of the things that many of our church community are enjoying at the moment during this lockdown period is that they're spending a lot of time in the garden. I'm looking at the photos on social media of the produce that people at Bayside are growing and then cooking into beautiful meals. So settle down is principle number one. Number two is seek peace. Verse 7 says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Pray or seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have called you. Peace and prosperity are one Hebrew word. The word is shalom, and it means lots of different things. It means safety and happiness and friendliness. It means welfare, health, prosperity, peace, contentment, completeness, soundness, restoration. Shalom is literally nothing missing, nothing broken. And the prophet is here saying, the words of God, seek the peace, seek the shalom of the city to which I've called you. Seek the peace of the city of Babylon, because there's plenty broken there. So seek restoration of that city. Melbourne is a beautiful city. It's a wonderful city. As I mentioned before, often referred to as the world's most livable city, but there's still plenty of things that are broken in the city of Melbourne. And so those of us who follow Jesus, one of our God-given responsibilities is to look at what we can fix in what is broken in our city. Now, we can't do everything ourselves, and I'm grateful to lots of churches and lots of charities, as well as government and government organizations who all work for the shalom, for the peace and security of our city. I had a meeting a number of years ago with some of the ministers around the Bayside area of Melbourne, and we were kind of talking and praying together about what could be a good expression of the unity that we have in Jesus. Someone mentioned that we all do an inter-church service, and we'd done a couple of those, but you know, it really felt like another church service wasn't going to really kind of cut it in seeking the peace, seeking the shalom of the city of Bayside. And so I suggested that we go and visit the local mayor and the local CEO of our city, which we did. We rang, we got an appointment, we sat there, and we said, basically, we represent a number of churches in the Bayside area, and we want to know, is there something that you would like to see happen? Is there something that you would like to see done that would help you and help people in our city? They didn't even need to really think about it. They said, yeah, there's actually an increasing number of people who are homeless and marginalized in the Bayside area of Melbourne, and what they actually need is food. Would you consider, as churches, putting on a weekly lunch? And so we said, yes, we will do that. The local Anglican church had just renovated their kitchen, so they said, you can use the kitchen free of charge. Different churches provided volunteers, some provided finance. Bayside Church said, well, we'll put our hand up and run it. And that was 11 years ago. And now we have two of those running. When the lockdown's not on, of course, but still one happening at the moment that's distributing hot food once a week to homeless and lonely and disadvantaged and marginalised people in the Bayside area of Melbourne. We have given out tens of thousands of hot meals over the last decade plus. We are seeking to fix something that is broken in our city. We are seeking its peace and its prosperity, because if our city prospers, the Bible says, then we will prosper with it. And the people were to do this not only because their welfare for 70 years was bound up with that of Babylon, but also because it would have degraded their whole moral nature to live as conspirators banded together against the country, which was at least for a time to be their home. And I think that's so important. It saddens me deeply when I see Christians living on the world as conspirators, always looking for the darkness, always looking for evil, finding a demon under every rock. And I tell you what, you would have found plenty of demons in the city of Babylon. Babylon was the principal developers of astrology as we know it today. In their worship system, they had 37 gods, and they believed that numbers gave them power, so they numbered their gods so that they could have power over their gods. Now, of course, they would have a different numbering system to us, but you can say God number one was one, and then two, three, four, five, all the way through to 36. But their 37th God was their supreme God who was greater than all the others. So rather than giving that God the number 37, they actually added up all the numbers from 1 to 36. Now, if you do that, you end up with 666. And so they were the founders of that whole 666 mystery Babylon and so on and so forth. They believed in a thing called knot magic, where they would get ropes and make knots and tighten them and loosen them. And they believed that that conjured up healing power. And so all of these various things. Now, can you imagine if the people of Israel were living in Babylon as conspirators? They'd be walking down the street with placards, you know, down with 666, astrology's of the devil, knot magic is not magic, or something clever like that. And yet, they weren't told to do that. They were told to seek the peace and prosperity of the city, to pray for the city. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are not called here to live as conspirators that seek the darkness and look for that which is evil. We are to live on this planet to seek the good, the welfare, to make the world a better place, to seek the shalom, to love the city that we live in. They were also told to, number three, stay pure. Verses 8 and 9, do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. In other words, don't spend your days protesting against the evils of Babylon, but also be careful that you aren't corrupted by those same evils. And we've got that same responsibility in our day and age. We're not to be protesting all the evil that we see, but neither are we to be enslaved or engulfed by it. The Apostle Paul tells us those who use the things of the world should not become attached to them, for this world, as we know it, will soon pass away. The Apostle Peter said, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. And fourthly and finally, stare forward. Verses 10 to 14. God says, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. In other words, the discipline of God doesn't last forever. When we discipline or correct our kids, it's just for a moment or just for a season, and then it's done. It's done and dusted. Same with God. God said to them originally it's going to be 70 years, but He cut those years far short of the 70. You know, we look forward to something called the second coming of Jesus Christ. It didn't happen in 1987, didn't happen in 88, it didn't happen because of all of the false prophecies, but one day it is going to happen. Jesus is going to return. And Jesus actually told us in Matthew 24, that once the gospel has been preached to every ethnic group around the world, then the end will come. So there's about 17,000 ethnic groups, and about 10,000 of them have an understandable presentation of the good news of Jesus Christ. That means there's about 7,000 to go. So I know Jesus isn't coming back today, and He's probably not coming back in the next year or two, but He will come back once we, the church, have finished the job. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back.